Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Lamed Amud Aleph 30a. We're going to start at the bottom, though, the last line of 29b. The Gemara today continues the discussion from yesterday about somebody admitting that they owe money. And there are two ways that this can take place. A person can admit that they owe money in front of two witnesses, or alternatively, a person can have that admission recorded in a shtar beis din, in a document written up by the court. And while both forms of admission are valid and they obligate the person is obligated to pay the money either way, there are certain advantages to having it written up in a shtar beis din. It carries a little bit more weight. So the Gemara is going to now present a case where it's not so clear whether there was an admission done in front of two witnesses or whether it was written up by the court, and therefore we're not clear exactly how to proceed. So the Gemara begins and it says, "Hahi odisa dehavikasa beiduchrin pisgame v'chol lishna debeidina." So there was a physical document in which a person admitted to having owed somebody else money, and the terminology in the document was the common terminology used by the Beis Din. V'lo havikasa ba b'mosav t'losa havena v'chad le'sohi. However, there were only two witnesses signed on the document, and we know that for a Beis Din to be valid, there needs to be three witnesses. And there wasn't any line, or there's no part of the shtar which indicated that there had been three people who heard the admission and that one of them passed away before the drafting of the document. So it wasn't clear, because on the one hand, the terminology of the shtar seemed to be like it had been accepted and heard by a court. On the other hand, there were only two signatures on the shtar, so it wasn't clear whether this was an oral admission or whether it was something which was recorded in court. So Ravina felt that this would follow what Reish Lakish said earlier, which is that if you have two witnesses sign on a document, we can assume, we have the right to assume legally that they did everything halachically that they were supposed to do. And if they signed on the document, it means that obviously there was a Beis Din there, and they just forgot to write the fact that one of the judges who presided over the Beis Din died before the writing up of the document. Rav Nosson bar Ami said to Ravina that we have the following statement from Rava. Kol ki haigavna chayshin on the Beis Din toin. That it's not correct, really, in any sort of scenario like this where you have only two witnesses on the document, we would suspect that the two people mistakenly considered themselves a Beis Din, and they signed the document, and really that this was just an oral admission heard by two witnesses, and it was not received by a Beis Din. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said, "I kasav ba beidina su lo tzarech." If the two witnesses wrote when they signed the document, they said, "We the Beis Din," and then they signed their names, so then that indicates that they really were acting in their capacity as a Beis Din, and there must have been a third judge alive when they initially heard the admission, and he died before the drafting up of the document. If it doesn't say that, then we would follow what Rava said, which is that we would suspect that they erroneously assumed they could be a Beis Din, and they really were not. So the Gemara asks, "V'dilma Beis Din chatzofu." The Amar Shmuel, "Shnayim shadanu dinein din, ela shenikru Beis Din chatzof." If the document says that they are two witnesses, and they refer to themselves as a Beis Din, the Gemara suggests that maybe that's not necessarily enough of evidence to assume that there was a third person there. It could be that there really were only two people there, and that they were following the halacha of Shmuel. Shmuel said earlier in the beginning of the Masechta that if two people preside over a case, they are bidyeved, that does work. It is considered a valid ruling, even though they're really not supposed to do that. Besim chotzuf means like they did the wrong thing. They're really supposed to have three judges. They had two judges, so it works ex post facto, but they shouldn't have really done it. So the Gemara suggests, even if this shtar says the word Beis Din in it, that's not a proof that there had been three people present upon hearing the admission. It could be there were only two people present, and these people held like Shmuel, but we don't paskin like that. The halacha in reality doesn't follow Shmuel, in which case this admission shouldn't carry the weight of an admission which was recorded in Beis Din. So the Gemara says, that's true. Dekasa bei dina derabana ashi. When it says Beis Din, when it says the court in the document, it has to actually say the Beis Din of Rev Ashi or some other prominent figure, such as Rev Ashi, that it's his court, and if it's his court, we assume the judges in his court would not have made that mistake to assume that they can act in the capacity of a Beis Din with only two people, and we can assume there had been a third person there. So the Gemara asks, V'dilma rabbanan debei Rav Ashi kishmul svir lehu. Well, maybe we should suspect for the possibility that the judges on this court, true, the person in charge of the court was a great rabbi, but it could be the judges of the court, maybe they held like Shmuel's halacha, and therefore they were acting in their capacity of a court with only two people. So the Gemara says, Diksivbo, Va'amar lon Rabbana Ashi. The document has to say, we are acting as a court, as told to us by the Av Beis Din, by the person in charge, who was Rav Ashi or some other person of great stature like that, and we presume then that if the person such as Rav Ashi or the person in charge of the Beis Din told them to act in their capacity as a Beis Din, we assume that he would not be ruling like Shmuel, allowing them to act in their capacity as Beis Din with only two members. There must have been a third member, and that person died before the drafting up of the document, and this would hold the weight of an admission which was made in court. Tan Rabbanan, the Gemara brings a brisa. Amar lahen echad, ani ra'isi avichem shehit min maus b'sheda teva u'migdal, v'amar shal ploni hein shal maiser sheni hein. If a person is told, you have these inheritors, children, and their father passed away, and somebody comes to them, and they say, you know, we saw that during your father's lifetime, he had money, and he hid the money somewhere, in a closet or somewhere away, he hid the money, and he said the money belonged to someone else, or the money was Meister Shani. So the question is, now that the father died, can the kids go to that location, and can they claim the money or not? On the one hand, the money belonged to their father. On the other hand, this person is saying that their father said during his lifetime the money belonged really to someone else, whether it was a loan or he was watching it for somebody. So the Gemara says it depends. Babayas, if the money was hidden in their house, lo amar klum. The witness doesn't have any right to the money, and the person who the witness claims the money belongs to doesn't have any right to it. The kids have a right to the money. Basada, if the money was hidden in another location, dvar of kayamin. Then what the witness says stands, and the children don't have a right to the money. The money must be given to the person who we're claiming the father said the money belongs to. What's the underlying principle? Klalo shel davar. The main rule is as follows. Kol she biyado litlan dvar of kayamin. If the witness who saw this happen, or was claiming to see this happen, if he would be able to go ahead and take the money, meaning if it would be located somewhere else, and he hypothetically could have just helped himself to the money, then we have to believe him, because if he wanted, he could have just taken the money for himself. So the fact that he's claiming that the father said the money belongs to another party, we would trust him. Ein biyado litlan, if he doesn't have access to the money, meaning the money is in the father's or the children's house, then lo amar klum, he doesn't have, we don't believe him when he says who the money belongs to. Now the Brisa gives another example. Hare shiroes avihen shehit min maos b'sheda teva umigdal v'amar shal ploni hein shal maitzer sheni hein. So this is a different scenario. This is two people come up to children and they say, before your father died, we saw that he put this money away and he said the money belongs to, this is the children themselves. The children themselves see their father during his lifetime before he dies put this money away, and they see the father says, this money really belongs to Reuven. And then subsequently the father dies. So the question is, did the children have a right to that money? So the Gemara says, Im kemosar dvarav kayamin. If it appears to them when the father is telling them that this money belongs to Reuven, if it appears to them that he's telling them this, like, and he's giving them instructions, make sure that this money gets back to Reuven at some point, so then dvarav kayamin, we have to assume that the money really belongs to Reuven, that kids don't have any rights to it. Im kemarim lo amar klum. If it appears that the father is just saying it because he doesn't really want the kids to get involved, doesn't want them to have anything to do with the money, the money belongs to him and he just doesn't want them to touch it. So he makes up this story that it really belongs to Reuven. If the kids kind of pick up on that and they get that impression, then after the father dies, we can assume the money really did belong to the father and the kids do get that money. If a person is preoccupied about a certain money that their parents left them, and uva baal hachalom, and they have a dream, va'amar lo kach v'kach hein, b'makom ploni hein, sholmeiser sheni hein. In the dream, they are told, you know, this is the amount of money that your parent left you, and this is where they stored the money. So, sholmeiser sheni hein, Zehayamaisa. So this event actually happened, and when this event happened, and they came to the Rav for a halachic ruling, they were told va'amru divrei chalomos lo malan v'lo maridin, that we disregard. It's true that you may have had this dream, and it's true that in fact the money was found to be exactly where you dreamt it to be, but we can disregard the other part of the dream, which says that the money belonged to so and so, and the child has a right to the money. Shnayim Omrim. The Gemara now is going to analyze the next part of the Mishnah, which says that if two judges say the person is innocent and one says they're guilty, so then the person is innocent. So the Gemara asks, Michtav Hechi Kasvi, how is the court, how is this verdict written up in court when there was a disagreement amongst the judges and two said innocent and one said guilty? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zakai. Rabbi Yochanan says, we write to the litigant, we say, you had a court trial and you were found to be innocent. Reish Lakish Amar, Reish Lakish says, Ploni uploni mizakin uploni uploni mechayvin. We don't just write that you were innocent, we have to write, so-and-so, this judge found you to be innocent, and this judge found you to be innocent, but the third judge found you to be guilty, and therefore you are innocent. We have to write all of that out, and we'll see why in a moment. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Rabbi Elazar says, Mi divrehem nizdaka ploni. Rabbi Elazar kind of takes a compromise, and he says, we don't have to actually write which judges said you're chayv and which judges said you're patur, but we do have to write, we say, through the words of the judges, meaning that there was a disagreement, and we came to the conclusion through a vote, a majority, that you were innocent. So the Gemara asks, Mai Beinayu, what's the issue at hand? What's the issue at hand between these three different opinions? Ika Beinayu, the issue is, L'shalume ihu menasa bahadayu. The question is, what happens if the case was judged incorrectly, and now the judges have to reimburse the wronged party? So the question is, let's say they ruled incorrectly against Shimon for a ruling of $90. So you have three judges. So how do we break up the money? The judges now have to pay out of pocket. They ruled against Shimon for $90, and we figure out later that they ruled incorrectly, and now they need to pay Shimon back. So the question is, how do they pay Shimon that $90? Lamanda Amar Zakai, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says we just write you're innocent without mentioning different people's names, Mishalim, everybody has to, each judge takes a share, and everyone would have to pay $30. Lamanda Amar Ploni Ploni Mizakin Ploni Ploni Mechayvin, according to Reish Lakish, that we identify each member of the court, the reason we do that is Lo Mishalim, is because we want to identify each member of the court, and the person who said, I originally thought that Shimon was innocent and I was ruled against, so he wouldn't have to pay money to reimburse him, because he would say, I never ruled wrongly against you. I ruled correctly the whole time. I was just outvoted. So the other people each would have to pay $30, and $60 would be paid to Shimon for being ruled against, and the third party wouldn't have to pay anything, and Shimon would have to suffer that loss. So the Gemara asks, Ulamanda Amar Zakai, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that we just write in the document the person is exempt. So Ulamanda Amar Zakai Mishalim, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that all three judges have to pay. Leimaluhu ilididi tsai sisun atunami lo shalitun. The third judge should say, I'm not paying a dime here. I was in favor of Shimon the entire time. You all just voted against me. Now that we figured out that I'm correct, so now I should suffer a loss of $30? If you would have listened to me in the beginning, none of us would have had to reimburse Shimon because the ruling would have come out correctly. So why should I have to pay? So the Gemara says that's actually a valid point. Ela ika beinayu, this is the following point of distinction in the machlokas. L'shalume inhu minasa didei. The question is, when there was an incorrect verdict issued, what did the other two judges, how much of the $90 did the other two judges have to pay? Did they have to cover the third judge's share? Did they each have to pay 45, or will we just make them pay 30 apiece and make the litigant suffer the $30 loss? The Lamanda Amar Zakai, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that we just say, you're innocent, Mishalmi. They have to pay his share. Lamanda Amar Ploni Ploni Mizakin, Ploni Ploni Mechaivin, according to Reish Lakish, that we list who the judges are, they only have to pay their share in it, which was $30. Lo Mishalmi. The Gemara asks, Lamanda Amar Zakai Mishalmi, according to the one who says that when you just write a general term, you're innocent and you don't list the judges, Mishalmi, they have to pay. V'leimrule, why don't they say to him, Ilav at bahadan lo hava salik din amidi? Why should we have to split the payment 45 and 45? The ruling only came to fruition because you sat on the Besdin with us. So while it's true that you disagreed with us on what the law should be, your presence here made the law come to fruition, and therefore you should take a part in that. And why should we have to suffer and pay 45, paying part of what you owe? We should really only have to pay 30. So the Gemara concedes and says that's correct. The question really here is about saying gossip. And the pasuk says, Lo selech racha b'amecha, and we don't want to tell the litigants which judges ruled against or in their favor. We don't want to share that information. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zakai. Rabbi Yochanan says, therefore, we have to keep everything anonymous. Mishum lo selech racha b'amecha. Reish Lakish Amar, Reish Lakish says, Ploni ploni mizakin, ploni ploni mechaivin. We still have a responsibility to list the people's names. Mishum demechzi kishikra. Because obviously Reish Lakish is concerned about Lashon Hara and gossiping and sharing that information. Except when it comes to court, in the situation of a Besdin, Reish Lakish says, we have to uphold and make sure that the document represents the events as they occurred in court. And when you just write anonymously, you were innocent, that kind of misrepresents the facts. Because you weren't really unanimously innocent, it was really a machlokas, and we just voted a majority. So therefore, we have to spell that out clearly. And Rabbi Elazar takes the middle road. Islay demar v'islay demar. He agrees with Rabbi Yochanan that we have to be concerned about lo selech racha b'amecha. At the same time, he doesn't want to misrepresent the facts. Hilkach, therefore, kas v'hachi midivrehem nesdak aploni. So without listing who the judges are, he does want to make it clear that there was a disagreement and it was voted on by majority. It says, after the judges are finished discussing the case, they bring them back into the room. So the question the Gemara asks is, Laman, who are we bringing back into the room? We have no indication that the litigants were ever asked to leave the room. So it doesn't sound like, so why would they? We be saying we bring them back in? It must be that we bring the witnesses back into the room. So the Gemara points out, Keman delo krebi nasan. Bringing the witnesses back in the room to hear their testimony a second time so that they can testify together, because if you remember, the witnesses don't testify in front of each other. We want them to be separate because we don't want them to be in cahoots, so we make them testify separately. So the Gemara says we bring them back in to have them testifying one final time after we've heard each of them individually and we've discussed the case amongst the judges. We bring them back in to hear them testify together. The Gemara just comments, that's not in line with the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. Tisanya, the Brisa says, La'olam ein edusan mitzarefes ad shiur shneim ke'echad. The Tanakhama of this Brisa says that in order for two witnesses to be valid witnesses, they have to witness the event together at the same time. Rabbi Hoshua ben Karcha Omer, he says, afilu b'zeh achar zeh. They can witness the event one after the other. They don't actually have to witness the event together. As long as they come in and tell us that later, that's okay. The second issue at hand here in the Braisa is not how they witness the event, but how they tell us the testimony. The Tanakhama says they actually need to say the testimony to the Beis Din at the same time. And Rabbi Nassan Omer, Shomen Dvarav Shalzeh Hayom, Ukashiyavu Chaveir Lomachar Shomen Es Dvarav. Rabbi Nassan says you can hear one witness say testimony today, and the other one can come in tomorrow. As long as sum total we hear both of these witnesses at some point give testimony about a case that happened, that's sufficient, even if they don't actually say it at the same time. So the Gemara points out that the Mishnah, which says that we ask the Edom to leave the room and then to come back and say testimony together, doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Nassan. Because according to Rabbi Nassan, that wouldn't be necessary because they don't have to say the testimony over together. And then the Gemara points out and says, lo, it's not necessarily not like Rabbi Nassan. Lo'olam lebalei dinim, it could possibly be that our Mishnah, when the Mishnah talks about bringing somebody back into the room, it may be referring to the litigants. V'Rabbi Nechemya hi. And it follows the opinion of Rabbi Nechemya. Tisanya, Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Rabbi Nechemya says in the Braisa, Kachayim in Hagan Shonakiyah Hadas Shebi Yerushalayim, the judges in Yerushalayim used to have the following practice. Machnisan lebalei dinim, v'shomim divrehim. They would bring in the litigants and hear what they had to say. Machnisan esayidim, v'shomim divrehim. Then they would bring in the witnesses and hear what they had to say. Umotziyun osan lachutz. They would ask everybody to leave. V'nosin v'nosin b'davar, and they would discuss the matter, and then they would bring them back in. So we see that there's a precedent here in this Braisa that there was the practice of some judges to actually send out the litigants, and the Gemara just says that our Mishnah may be saying that, or it may be saying to send out the Edom, but it's not clear. The Gemara asks, V'hasanya, but there is another Braisa, and the Braisa says, Gamur es hadavar machnisan es ha'edim. So this Braisa clearly says, it doesn't say machnisan osam, it actually identifies who it is that we're bringing back into the room. We're bringing the witnesses back into the room. So the Gemara points out, Hahi delok Rabbi Nassan. That clearly doesn't follow Rabbi Nassan, because again, as we said earlier, Rabbi Nassan wouldn't require them to say testimony together. There would be no reason for them to bring them back into the room at the same time. Gufa. The Gemara goes back and quotes the entire text of the Braisa, which we just brought earlier. La'olam ein edusan mitzarefes ad shiur shneim ke'achad. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha omer afilu b'zeachar zeh. So we have a machlokas here in this Braisa about whether the witnesses have to see the event happen together, or can they see the event individually and then just come testify afterwards together. So the Tanakhama says they must see it together, and Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha says that's not necessary. So the Gemara asks, B'mai kamiflagi, what is the basis of this dispute? Yibar say makrav, yibar say masvara. This can either be they're arguing about how to understand a certain pasuk in the Torah, or it may be that they're just arguing about the logic. The argument based on logic would be as follows. Amana de kamasid hai, lo kamasid hai. Umana de kamasid hai, lo kamasid hai. That the Tanakhama says that in order for them to be valid witnesses, they both have to witness the same event. The key focus is the event. So if they're saying testimony that Reuven borrowed $100 from Shimon, they actually have to see together the loan going from Reuven to Shimon's hands. And they're testifying on that event as having taken place. V'idach, what about Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, that he allows them to see, that they don't have to see the event together. What that means is as follows. Rashi says, one witness can come in and say, I saw Reuven borrow $100 from Shimon on Sunday. The second witness comes in and says, I saw Reuven borrow $100 from Shimon on Monday. Then according to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, we would say that at the end of the day, we have two witnesses here saying, in sum total, we know that Reuven owes Shimon $100. They're not both testifying to the same event that took place. One's Sunday, one's Monday. But at the end of the day, we have two witnesses stating that Reuven owes Shimon $100. So why does that work? So the Gemara says, Amana ba'alma tarvayu kamasadi. The issue at hand is they both are saying testimony about a debt. So the question is, do the Edom have to witness the actual event which occurred, in which case they have to see the event together, or do they just have to know about not necessarily the specific event that occurred, but the debt that is owed from Reuven to Shimon, as long as they're aware of that, so then they could testify on that. Even if they didn't see the loan take place at the same time, one saw a loan take place on Sunday, the other one saw a loan take place on Monday, we would say that they, at the end of the day, there's a debt from Reuven to Shimon, and that would be valid. Alternatively, maybe they're arguing about how to understand the pasuk. Diksib, the pasuk says in the Torah, "V'hu aid ora oyada." He is a witness. He either saw something or he knew about it. That's one pasuk. The Gemara is now going to bring down a second pasuk, and we're going to put them together. Vitanya, and there's a brisa which brings down the following pasuk. Lo yakum aid. There's a pasuk. It says, "Lo yakum aid echad beish." That one witness cannot testify about something. So we know the word aid, witness, that's singular. So the Gemara is going to ask, why does the Torah, when it refers to an aid, which is in singular, why does it say aid echad? Obviously, the word aid is singular, so you don't need to say one aid. When you say the word witness, we know that it's referring to one. So the Gemara says, mimashma shenemar lo yakum aid. If the Torah uses the terminology aid, which is singular, eini yodea shehu echad, isn't that obvious that we're referring to one aid? Why does the Torah then use the word one aid? Ze bona av. This sets a precedent throughout the entire Torah, which is kol makom shenemar aid. Anytime the Torah uses the word aid, harei kan shnayim, the Torah is referring to a set of two witnesses. Ad shiyafar lecha hakasav echad. Unless the Torah specifies that we're referring to one. So now going back to our first pasuk, the pasuk says, V'hu aid o ra'a o yada. He was a witness. Now remember, that word aid, without the second word echad, if it's just the word aid, it means two witnesses. So the Gemara asks, V'apke rachmana b'lashon chad. Why then does it say, if the word aid really refers to two witnesses, it should say the correct pronoun should be v'heim aid. They are an aid, because aid means two. V'hu aid is singular. He is an aid. So the Gemara says, why does it say it like that? L'meimar ad chazu tarvayhu kechad. It's trying to hint to us the point, according to the Tanakhama, that both witnesses need to witness the event together at the same time. And Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha says that's not necessary. V'idach, Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha says, v'hu aid o ra'o o yada mikol makom. He doesn't apparently understand the pasuk to be alluding to this halacha. And he says that the pasuk just means in whatever way you find out the information, you become an aid, that's sufficient, and it's not necessary that they witness the event together at the same time. Okay, now the Gemara is going to analyze the next part of the brisa, which is Ve'ein edusan miskayemes bevezdin, ad she'yidu shneim ke'echad, that their testimony cannot be accepted in court until they say the testimony together, while Rabbi Nassan is of the opinion that we can hear one person's testimony hayom today, u'kashiyavu chaver l'machar shomen devarav, and we can have the other person come in and testify the next day. So the Gemara wants to know, b'maikam iflagi, what's the basis of their machlokes? Ibas eim asvara, ibas eim akra. Same thing again. Ibas eim asvara, they may be arguing just in logic, which is, mar savar, the Tanakhama says, eid echad, ki asi l'shivua asi l'mamona lo asi. In eid echad, we know the rule is in the Torah, that one witness does not have the power to cause somebody to lose money. They do have the power to force someone to swear in court, but they don't have the power to have money change hands. So they don't have that power. And until they both testify together, we consider each one individually as an eid echad. V'idach, and Rabbi Nassan holds, atu ki asu bahade hadadi b'chad puma kamisahadi. When they come to court, Rabbi Nassan says, do they actually talk at the same time? No, they don't actually talk at the same time. Ela mitzarfina lehu. We hear each person present their testimony, and then we say, okay, you said it together. So hachanami litzarfinu. So we can hear one person one day and one person the next day, and then we can look objectively at both of them together and say that's a testimony. That's what Rabbi Nelson says. Bibas emakra. Alternatively, Rabbi Nelson and the chachamim may be arguing about how to understand the pasuk, which says im lo yagid v'nasa avono. If he doesn't testify, then he will have a sin. Now this is the end of that pasuk we just brought a few lines up. The pasuk says, V'hu aid o ra'a o yada. So if you remember, we said aid is referring to two witnesses, and it says they saw the event, and then it says, Im lo yagid v'nasa avono, if they don't say the testimony. So the Gemara says, "So the kulei alma karabanan depligi alehal Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha." So it could be that everyone here is in agreement to the opinion earlier, which is that in order for it to be a valid testimony, both people have to witness the event at the same time. The question on hand just is, do we have that same requirement for the giving over of the testimony? V'hacha here, be'akushe hagada l'ri'ya kemiflegi. There's a machlokes, do we compare, do we require the same sort of requirements as we do for witnessing the event, as we do for, do we require the same thing for testimony as we do for witnessing the event? Mar savar makshinen hagada l'ri'ya. One says that just as the witnessing has to take place, both of them together, so we compare the testimony to that, and the testimony has to be given over together as well. Umar Savar and Rabbi Nassan is of the opinion, lo makshina, we don't compare them, and just because the witnessing has to take place together doesn't mean the testimony has to be said at the same time.
I thought we had discussed that, that we didn't want that to be influenced by each other's testimony.
Right, correct. So the question would be, so then what would be necessary there is we would hear them say it individually, and that would be the idea of sending each one out of the room.
We would come back
and we would require them both to say it, the testimony, to repeat the testimony together, just to fulfill this requirement. The Gemara now brings a story, and it says, Rabbi Shimon ben Al-Yakim hava mishtakid alehad Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanin l'mismechei v'lo kamistaya milsa. Rabbi Shimon ben Al-Yakim was pushing very hard to get Rabbi Yossi smicha, and he wasn't successful in doing that. Yom Achad, one day, Hava Yosef Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, they were both sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and Amar Lahu, Rabbi Yochanan said to both Rabbi Shimon and to Rabbi Yossi, Mi'ika diyada halacha k'Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha olo? Does anyone know if the halacha follows Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha? Do the Edom have to witness the event at the same time, or not? Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha said it's not necessary. So Amar Lay, Rabbi Shimon ben Al-Yakim spoke up, and he said, Dein yada, this one, Rabbi Yossi, he knows the answer. So Amar Lay, Rabbi Yochanan said, Lay ma'izu, so why don't you tell me what you think? Amar Lay, Rabbi Shimon ben Al-Yakim said, Lismechei mar bereisha, first grant him smicha, and then he'll tell you the answer. So it says, Samche, Rabbi Yochanan granted him smicha, Amar Lay, and he said, Bini, Amar Li, Ketzad Shamata, tell me, what did you hear? So Amar Lay, Rabbi Yossi then responded. He said, "Kach shamati, I heard, shemode Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha l'Rabbi Nassan, that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha follows the opinion of Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan, who says that the witnesses don't have to say the testimony over together, so Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha follows that idea, and based on that, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha says they don't even have to witness the event together. So Amar, Rabbi Yochanan said, Lozeh utzrachti, I needed you for this, like I couldn't have figured that out on my own. Hashta uma ikariya bahade hadadi. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha lo bo'inan. Hagada mibai. If Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha doesn't require the actual witnessing of the actual event, which establishes the facts to be true, if he doesn't require that to be done together, then certainly he wouldn't require them to say the testimony over together in court. That's already a less of an issue. So that was obvious that he follows Rabbi Nassan's opinion. I didn't need you for that. So Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan said, however, Hoyol v'alisa lo teirid, once I have granted you smicha, I'm not going to retract that and take that away. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Zeira said upon hearing this story, Shmamina gav rabba kivan desamich samich. Once a great person has granted smicha, samich, the smicha sticks, even if it was given in error. Now, just to quickly point out here, there is somewhat of a girsa change here, and it does make a difference. Some people have the girsa, and they say, it's not kivan de samich, it's kivan de istamich, which means, once a great person was granted smicha, the smicha sticks, even if the grounds for the granting of smicha were done in error. And the difference is as follows. The question is, if a regular person was granted smicha by the Sanhedrin erroneously, so then, or not by the Sanhedrin, yeah, if a regular person was granted smicha by the Sanhedrin erroneously, so the question is, can they take that back? So if the Gemara is saying, kivan de samich, once he granted smicha, the smicha was granted, it sounds like it's dependent on who gave the smicha. Once they give the smicha, so then it's done, even if it was done in error. But if the Gemara is saying kivan de istimich, The focus is on the person who received the smicha. So it's saying that smicha and eruv doesn't really work, because if the person isn't worthy of getting it, so if it's granted an eruv, too bad. But if the person is of stature, that they're a gava rabba, that they're such a great stature that they was granted an eruv, even though the grounds for giving to them were an eruv, since they're such a great person, we can allow it to stick. That would depend on what the Gemara is saying here. Amar Reb Chiya bar Avin, Amar Rav. Reb Chiya bar Avin said in the name of Rav, Halacha Krebi Yeshua ben Karcha, Bein Bekarkos, Bein Bemetaltalin. Ula Amar Halacha Krebi Yeshua ben Karcha, Bekarkos, Avalo Bemetaltalin. So the question is, when the Halacha follows Reb Yeshua ben Karcha, everybody says the Halacha follows Reb Yeshua ben Karcha when it comes to real estate. Meaning, if we have one witness who says, we heard that Reuven admitted that this piece of land belongs to Shimon on Monday, and then another person comes in and says, I heard that Reuven admitted this piece of land belongs to Shimon, so everyone agrees that Halacha follows Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, because objectively, we have two witnesses on this piece of land who have said that Reuven said this land belongs to Shimon. The only question at hand here between Rav and Ula, the Amoraim, they are arguing about, does the Halacha follow Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha when it comes to money, when it comes to loans? So again, if you have somebody say, I saw Reuven borrow $100 from Shimon on Sunday, and the other person says, I saw Reuven borrow $100 from Shimon on Monday, is that a valid testimony or not to say that Reuven owes Shimon $100 or not? That's a machlokes. So Amar le Abaye, Abaye said to Ula, Halacha michlal depligi. You are saying the Halacha follows Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. That implies that the Chachamim argue with him. V'hamar Rabbi Abba Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Modim Chachamim, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Be'edos Karka. We have a statement in which Rabbi Abba said, in the name of Rav, that the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha. When it comes to real estate, they agree that the witnesses can both come and see the event happen. The witnesses can see the event happen separately, and that's okay. And we know the Chachamim agree. So why are you saying the Halacha follows Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha? Everyone agrees that that's the Halacha. The Tani of Idi bar Alvin ben Ezekin de Beikarna, Modem Chacham Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Ve'edos Bechor, Uve'edos Karka, Uve'edos Chazaka, Ve'chein Shebebein Ve'shebebas. And also, Rev Idi taught, when they were learning Nezikin in the yeshiva of Beikarna, he taught that in these four cases, Edos about a Bechor, about an animal which was a Bechor, which developed a blemish, and you need witnesses to testify that the blemish wasn't put on the animal by the owner of the animal, but it developed naturally. And Eidos Karka, real estate, who the real estate belongs to. Eidos Chazaka, also a question of real estate, people taking possession of land, and a question of presumption of ownership. And V'chein Shebebein V'shebebas, which the Gemara will explain what that means in a moment. In all those cases, we heard that the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha that it's okay to have the witnesses observing the case separately. So the Gemara answers, Gavra Agavra Karamis, you are saying there's a contradiction between Two Amoraim each have a different opinion. One Amora believed that the Chachamim were in agreement to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, and one believed that it was a machlokas. But that's not a contradiction. Two Amoraim have their right to argue with each other, and they're arguing, and that's all that's going on here. So now the Gemara just goes back to, Marsar Pligi, one said they argue, Marsar Lo Pligi. My V'chein Shebebein V'shebebas. So the Gemara says, regarding a boy and a girl, regarding some sort of testimony regarding a girl and a boy, the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha that we can have two separate Edim, and they can each witness something individually, and that's acceptable. So what is that case? Ilema echad omer achas begabav, echad omer achas bekresa. If one is testifying to the existence of one pubic hair in one area, the echad omer achas bekresa, and the other is testifying to another pubic hair in another area of the boy or girl to testify about whether they've reached maturity. So the Gemara says, "Hai chatzi davar v'chatzi edosu." That is clearly not acceptable according to anyone, because what we have is one individual witness testifying about one hair, and we need a testimony regarding two hairs to confirm that the child has reached adulthood. So the Gemara says, "Ela echad omer shtayim v'gabo." One witness can come in and say, I saw that the person, the existence of two pubic hairs in one area, and the other one can say, I saw the existence of two pubic hairs in another area, and together we know that this child has two pubic hairs in one of the areas, or at the existence of two pubic hairs, and that's sufficient to consider the child an adult. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, "Ano amina mishmeidu ula halacha kebi Yeshua ben Karcha, bein bekarkaros bein bemetaltalin." I thought that the halacha followed Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, that the witnesses don't have to see the event happen together, both when it comes to real estate and loans. The Rabbanon da'asim u'mechosa amri. The Rabbanon said, "Amar Rav Zera mishmeidu rav, bekarkaros in." Avo lo b'metaltalin, but not when it comes to loans. So the Gemara points out, Rav l'tame de amar Rav. This is Rav following his own opinion, which is the expressed in the following. The Gemara is going to bring four different examples here of testimony being divided up, meaning two witnesses seeing something or testifying about something individually. So the Gemara gives an example. The Gemara says, number one is hoda'a acher hoda'a. One person says, Reuven admitted to owing Shimon money on Monday. And the second person comes in and says, Reuven admitted to owing money to Shimon on Tuesday. That's one case. Hoda'a acher halva'a. Same thing. One says, he admitted to owing him money. The other one comes in and says, I saw that he lent him money yesterday. So in that case, mitztarfi. That would suffice. Why? So the Gemara is going to say in a moment, because in that case, one witness is saying, I saw that Reuven borrowed money from Shimon. The next one comes in and says, I saw the next day that Reuven admitted to owing money to Shimon. So it's very possible that his admitting to owing money to Shimon, he's admitting to the fact that a loan took place yesterday. I lent him money yesterday, or I borrowed money from him yesterday, and now today I'm admitting the fact that I owe him the money. So the Gemara says, mitztarfi. We can join the two testimonies there. Halva'a achar halva'a. If they come in separately and they each testify about two different loans happening on successive days, or halva'a achar hoda'a, or about a loan that took place after, a day after an admittance taking place, lo mitztarfi, that doesn't work. So Ashkechei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rav Huna v'reid Rav Yeshua. Rav Nachman found Rav Huna, and Amar Lei, he said to him, he was asking him when he saw him, Maishna halva'a achar halva'a delo. Demana de kachazi hai, lo kachazi hai. Why is it that when one comes, when they each testify, the two separate witnesses testify about loans happening on two successive days, why does that not work? Why don't we accept that? It's because they both did not witness the same event happen. So if that's true, hoda'a achar hoda'a nami. So when it's referring to when they come in, and they each give testimony about two successive admittances occurring. So that also, we should say, amana de kamo de kamehai, lo mo de kamehai. They both did not see together at the same time the same admitting of money occur. So why should that be acceptable? So Rav Huna answered, de amar lei, he said, de amar lei lahai basra, you're correct. In a case where there's admitting after admitting, what has to happen is the second person, the second witness, has to hear the person, the debtor, say the following thing. V'hai mana de'odile kamach, the same money that I'm admitting to you that I owe that person, odile nami kameploni, I already admitted to a different person yesterday that I owed that money as well. So now the second person is fully aware that there was another witness involved and that there were two witnesses involved in this. So the Gemara says, Akati basra yada kama lo yada. But the first person who heard him admit that he owed money was not aware of the second person coming the next day. So the Gemara says, Dehadar azil amar leila kama, haimana de odile kamach, odile nami kabiploni. You're right. He has to tell each of the witnesses. He has to say, the thing you see me admitting to you today that I owe, I'm going to admit that tomorrow to so-and-so. And the next day he has to tell the second person, I already admitted that I owe this money to so-and-so. In that case, both of the witnesses can combine together afterwards to come in and say testimony. So Amar Lei, Rav Nachman says, Tanuach datacha shesnachtas dati. Thank you. Your mind should be put at ease because you put my mind at ease. I was having trouble understanding this and you helped me understand it. Amar Lei, Rav Huna responded, My nechusa, how are you at ease? De Rava v'itemer of sheshes shadabe narga. Rava already threw something at this and knocked this explanation down. Rava already said, he pointed out, Lav hainu hoda'a achar halva. Rava pointed out on these four statements of Rav. Rava said, what is the difference between, Rava said, this is the same thing as having somebody admit, testify that they heard somebody admit to money the day after having seen him borrow money. So what he said to him was as follows. He said, why did Rav have to tell me the same halacha twice? It's true I gave you a good explanation for what Rav meant, but Rav is essentially saying the same halacha repeated in just different words. So Amar Lei, Rev Nachman responded to him, Hainu d'shmi'a li alaychu, I've heard about people like you. D'remisu dikli, you chop down trees, v'zakfisulu, and then you plant them again, meaning you solve my problem and you create more problems. And we'll continue from here tomorrow.